So y'all, we're continuing today in our sermon series titled The DIY Challenge. The DIY Challenge. I think most of us know what DIY stands for, do it yourself. Enough of us have watched HGTV. What was then the DIY network, the DIY channel, it's now the Magnolia Network. Chip and Joanna, they take it over things, y'all. They take it over things. But DIY, do it yourself. That's where people decide to do renovations or home improvements. And for some strange reason, they decide to do it themselves, whether to pay somebody else to do it. I said this morning, listen, DIY is not my ministry. That I'm not gifted with my hands. I don't have that kind of skill set to do those kinds of things. But some of y'all got it going on like that. Some of you can do it. You can do it that way. That even on television, we see where people accept these challenges. They challenge one another in a DIY project to see who can do the best and who can win the prize. So I think there's some of us that we should not attempt some DIY projects. Namely myself, I'm talking about me, that I leave that to Reverend Mike, he said, that's me too, that I leave it up to my most capable wife. I said to them this morning, when it comes to putting something together, y'all, I have to lay all the parts out on the floor. I got to get the manual. I got to read through everything two or three times to make sure I got it together. She'll just look at the box and go, get out of the way, and click, 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 and it's done. That's just not me. It's not me. Some things we should attempt, some things we should not attempt as it relates to DIY projects. But one thing I do know, that when it comes to salvation, there is no DIY salvation. That you cannot do it yourself. Ephesians 2 says we're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift that comes from God. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. But at the same time, as I look at Scripture, I believe there are some things that God wants us to initiate. Of course, with his help. Some things that we ought to do, we should initiate in our faith walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of our sermon series is to help us to really take the initiative, take the courage, to stand up and do those things that God calls you and me to do, to take the initiative to do it, knowing that God is on your side and my side. Last week, y'all, we went to Mark chapter 12, where Jesus is talking to this religious leader. Then he asked Jesus an important question. He said, what's the most important of all of the commandments, the Old Testament laws? What's the most important, Jesus? Some of you Bible readers know the answer to that question, that you to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, your strength, and your mind. And it says the second one is like it. It's similar to it. It's connected to it, that you to love your neighbor. Slow down and listen to these words. As yourself. Sometimes we don't catch that part of the scripture. Love your neighbor as yourself. When we say that in the word, it sounds real selfish to us sometimes, that I love myself. But do you not know, and I just believe that God wants you to love yourself, but to love yourself rightly. That we can't love ourselves in pride and arrogance and all of that, but we're to love ourselves the way God loves us. Found out something, we can't love others well until we love ourselves rightly. So let me ask you the question. Do you love yourself rightly? Do you love yourself the way God loves you? I challenge you to do that. So as we look at our second installment of this sermon series, I'm sure most of you are aware that we have to have checkups and examinations. That we go to the doctor at least once a year for an annual checkup to see what's going on with our bodies. That we allow them to draw that blood and do the lab work, and we hope the A1C and all of that stuff, it comes back looking good. But it's necessary to have that checkup, that annual examination, to make sure that you are physically healthy. When a car is acting up, y'all, and it's making funny noises, what do? We go to a mechanic to allow them to do a checkup on our cars, to do a diagnostics, hoping we got a warranty on the car. If not, we get ready to pay that super bill. To see what's wrong with our automobiles, to do a checkup on our cars. School is about to start. We just prayed for our young people. We continue to pray for you. We pray for your protection. The times in which we live, we pray for your provision. We pray for our teachers and administrators, our superintendents alike. We pray for a wonderful school year, but you're starting school. So millions of students, whether you're in grade school or you're in college or graduate school, we know something, that you can expect that there's going to be some tests, that they have to determine whether or not you are ready to pass that particular subject or that particular grade. And sometimes you don't pass the grade because you don't pass the standardized test that they put out there, that some of us don't know what, we know a spoon, but don't tell me about a ladle. Just those standardized tests that they give some. I don't want to go on that trip, but anyway, some of y'all know where I'm going with that. But you can expect to get a test because you want to pass the grade. So found out that doctors give exams, mechanics do checkups, teachers will give us tests. But how do we ensure our spiritual lives are in good repair? How are we sure that our spiritual maturity, our faith is intact? How do we know that our faith is really, it's real? Do we fake the funk? So I know I'm not going to get a whole lot of amens this morning on this, but that's okay. That we're not faking the funk with God. That we are in a genuine relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I need y'all to sit in that for a minute. Because a whole lot of people can show up at church. They can clap. They can sing. But they're as lost as ever. And so we need to know that we are in a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do it? Go to me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. What does God expect of us? What might he expect for us to do ourselves as it relates to ensuring we're maturing and growing in our faith, as well as we have a genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. And it says this. This is the third time I'm coming to visit you. And as the scriptures say, the facts of every case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I have already warned those who had been sinning when I was there on my second visit. I told y'all before. Now I again warn them and all others just as I did before. The next time I will not spare them. I will give you all the proof you want that Christ speaks through me. Christ is not weak when he deals with you. He is powerful among you. Although he was crucified in weakness, he now lives by the power of God. We too are weak just as Christ was, but when we deal with you, we'll be alive with him. We'll have God's power. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Do it yourself. Examine yourself. Test yourself. Prove yourself. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. I encourage our hearts this morning, y'all, from the thought, check yourself. Check yourself. Check yourself. So some of the religious believers in Corinth thought that Paul was a fake, that he was a phony, that Paul was really all about him, that he was tripping, that Paul was not the real deal. But in fact, Paul operated under his apostolic authority, that he was a man sent by God to preach the gospel to the Gentile nation and to Jews as well. It's interesting when we look at scripture, we find that there are always these fake and false accusers, these self-appointed judges. You'll find it wherever you go. It's nothing new. But how dare they accuse a true man of God, an apostle, one sent by God to give the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to people that did not know Jesus. But they say, in essence, he's a liar. He's not speaking the truth. Paul speaks to the church in Corinth, especially to doubters and the wayward. He speaks as a father, a spiritual father. The way parents speak to their natural children. He says, listen, I've told you before. I'm telling you again. Now let me paraphrase. Now, if I have to come and tell you one more time, I'm going to come in my apostolic authority, and I'm going to cut it straight. Paul said, I'm going to come, and I'm going to tear up some stuff. Man, do we need more of that in churches today. The people that cut it straight, listen, if it hurts you, that's okay. It will help you. But to speak the truth and to speak the truth in love. Verse 3 and 4, Paul is saying, just because I haven't pulled rank on you, it does not mean that I am weak. Because Paul said, when I come to you, I'm coming to you in the power of God all by himself. I will speak as God speaks through me to you. So listen to what I've got to say. Paul is saying, in essence, listen, I came to you originally in genuine faith. I came to you as an apostle, one sent by God to speak to you, to impart the gospel to you. If in fact you believe that gospel, you trusted that gospel, you're obeying that gospel, listen, you are in Christ. You're okay. But if not, you're not okay. So Paul says to them, you have to examine yourself. So what he's saying to them, listen, there are those of you that are saying to me, listen, that I'm not real, that I'm faking all of that. So he flips the script. So I tell you what, stop pointing your finger at me and you examine yourself. You test yourself. A whole lot of people that in church that are pointing their fingers at somebody else. You're not this. You're not that. You're this. I saw you over. How'd you see me over there? But guess what? When you're pointing a finger, there are three fingers coming right back at you. So we need to examine ourselves. Mama used to say, "Sweep under your own front door." When it comes to the genuineness of your faith, you must constantly check yourself, as we say in the streets, before you wreck yourself. There are too many people that are wrecking themselves because you're not checking yourself to see where you are in your faith. And I encourage you this morning, I challenge you, I plead with you, ask yourself the question, where am I in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it genuine? Was it just mama's faith? Or daddy's faith, or grandmama's faith? How I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, myself, or am I just faking it? Yeah, I found out something for me. It's more enjoyable. It's easier, y'all, to critique other people. Yeah, it is. It's easy to look at somebody else and say, you need to get it right. It's easy to look at them. You jacked up. You tore it from the floor up. Sometimes it feels good. It feels good, to get on your high horse. And I'm just talking about the human side of us. The human side of us, y'all, we love to come correct with people. You need to come correct. But do we ever consider the fact that, listen, we need to take a look in the mirror and see where we are in our faith, to see where we are in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? I admit that some people are guilty of spiritual malpractice because they're always trying to tell other people what they ought to do, what they should be, what they should not be, what they should do, how judgmental people can be, how Pharisaic people can be, and they don't look at themselves. Some aspects, y'all, of the Christian life, they can be difficult. Sometimes prayer is difficult. I'm just talking about me. Sometimes you don't feel like praying. Yeah, the pastor said that. Sometimes you'd rather say something than pray. But you have to pray. Sometimes you don't feel like but forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice to release somebody of what they've done to you so you can be released. It's not always easy to do, especially when people offend you in a hard, in a harsh way. To find contentment sometimes, y'all, it's not always easy. You look around you, and I'm just talking about material. You look around you, see everybody else got it going on. You want it going on too? Sometimes being content is not always easy. Sometimes walking in a season, y'all, where it sounds like it seems like God is not speaking to you. You cried and you prayed and you've been seeking God, but it seems like God is not speaking and God's saying, just hold your horses, stay where you are, just stay right there, just stay right there. Sometimes it's hard to stay right there. It's hard to be content. Sometimes it's hard to love people, y'all, that seem unlovable. Look at me, don't look around. Look at me, don't look around. And sometimes, y'all, it's difficult to engage in self-evaluation. But the Apostle Paul says to us this morning, examine yourself. You do it yourself. The way, y'all, we do regular physical self-examinations, there are a number of things that we can do ourselves before we get to the doctor to see if there are any lumps or bumps or anything that's going wrong, and we can report it to the doctor and they can dive deeper. There are self-evaluations, self-examination, personal, regular physical things we can do. But in the same manner, I believe there are personal spiritual examinations that we need to engage in as the people of God. Because God wants you to be spiritually healthy, spiritually mature, and know that you know that you know that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first aspect, y'all, of this self-examination, of course, is the personal aspect of a self-checkup. Paul says, examine yourselves. Inspect thoroughly to determine the condition of a thing. Examine yourselves, verse 5. David says in Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Here David is asking God to do the searching, God to find the faults in him, God to deal with the personal issues in him. And I found out something. If you ask God to do it, God will show you you. Anybody know that today? When you come to the Word of God and you ask, show me, God will show you. God will show you you. But here Paul says, examine yourself. You do it yourself. Of course, you cannot do it without God's help. We depend upon God. We depend upon His Holy Spirit to help us. And so, if we're going to search ourselves, it starts with the Word of God. Then the Word of God penetrates our hearts and shows us. But it requires something, y'all. This personal aspect, personally, it requires self-exposure. That we self-expose, take a look. Take a look and see what's wrong. I said to the folks this morning, sometimes y'all, you got your robe on and stuff, you pass by the mirror and you go, look at a couple of pounds and what done happened here? This what too much ham hocks and turnip greens. What's going on here? So there's self-exposure. You have to. You have to see it like it sure enough is, like it really is. So there has to be some self-exposure. You have to look at yourself, y'all. Look at yourself. Then there's self-evaluation. How bad is it really? After we look in the mirror, y'all, and we see that, listen, maybe there's a couple of extra weight and pounds on us, then the next thing we do, y'all, is good to step on a scale. A scale will tell you just how bad it really is. It's amazing how many people, y'all, will say the scale is lying. Oh, this scale, it has got to be broke, y'all. Something wrong with it. Let me change the batteries in this scale. Scale ain't got no batteries. For real, anybody been like me? You took the scale, you moved it to another room in the house to say, this ain't got to be wrong. It cannot be correct. Only to come to the reality that the scale does not lie. God does not lie. His word does not lie. It speaks the truth every time. So there has to be some self-exposure. Let's take a look at it, some self-evaluation. How bad is it really? We have to agree with the word of God. We live in days and times now, y'all, when people want to look at the word of God, read the word of God. It says what it says plainly, but we try to flip it. That's not really what God said, is it? I think the devil spoke to somebody back in Genesis. Is that really what God said? And we're living in those times, right? People, is that really what God said about? Yeah, that's what God said. And God does not lie. And so then there has to be this self-reflection. What are we going to do about it? If I'm doing this personal, spiritual examination, I see that something's wrong, I have to ask myself the question then, what am I willing to do about it? Am I going to try to flip the script? So that's not really what God said? Or am I going to really try to change by the power of God's Spirit with His strength? Or am I simply going to do nothing? I know what the Word of God says. I know it's wrong. I know it's bad. I know I need to change. But I choose to do nothing about it. There's the personal aspect of a self-checkup. The second thing is this, the point of a self-checkup. Paul says it in the text, to see if your faith is genuine, to see if you're the real deal, or to see if you're faking the funk. And I dare to think most of us in here know whether we are in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, but the question still remains. Examine yourself to see if you are of the faith, you have faith, But the totality of what faith means, the totality of faith is found in the Word of God. Is my life lining up with the Word of God, these 66 books? Am I doing what God is asking me to do? I'm not talking about a work salvation. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it wrong. Saved by grace through faith, that's how we get saved. But how we walk it out, how we mature spiritually, is by looking at the Word of God, the mirror of God's Word, and applying it to our everyday lives, trusting and obeying whatever God is asking us to do. Point of self-checkup. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 says this. We'll finish in just a few minutes here. We're going to baptism. I love baptism. Did I say I love baptism, y'all? Galatians 6, 4. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. Pay attention to yourself rather than comparing yourself to somebody else. And then maybe, y'all, we can compare ourselves to other people, and man, I'm glad I ain't like so-and-so. That, you know what they doing. They doing. I'm glad I'm not like them, y'all. That's just pride. So if you're going to compare yourself to somebody, compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be your standard of what it looks like to live holy, to live righteous, and to live true. Look at him. I can compare myself to some people all day and say, listen, I'm doing better than them. But there are a whole lot of folk we can compare ourselves to. We are nowhere where they are in their walk, in their faith walk with the Lord. So don't compare yourself to anybody else. When you compare yourself to you, let Jesus be the standard, you can rejoice in that. That's the point of a self-checkup, to see if there's anything wrong spiritually. Examine yourself. Examine comes from a Greek word that means to test with a view towards destruction. I'm looking at myself. I'm looking at what needs to be destroyed. What needs to die? Mortify, therefore, the deeds of the flesh. You put it to death. What might be in you that you need to let die? What's in your life you need to let it go? What is that thing? Oh, God, I'm good over here. Yeah, you're doing good over there, but what about over here? What needs to die? What do you need to let go of? To see if there's anything right spiritually. Some things we need to destroy, but what about those things that are right in us? Prove or test, which means to test with a view towards approval. Praise God. There's some things that you're doing right that God approves of, that you're doing well. You're running well in that area. You're working well. You're serving well in that area. So God approves of that. So approve of that. You're doing good. Praise God. Let me pat you on the back. You're doing well. But it has to be the balance of the two. What needs to be destroyed versus what am I doing? What am I doing well? And we do all of this. Our purpose of this is to see if God's presence, number one, is in us, and not perfection. I say presence and not necessarily perfection. Because Paul is talking about salvation. He's talking about a genuine faith, a real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Does the presence of God dwell in you by the power of his, because you have confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus? You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says that saves you. Have you done that? Or are you just on grandmama's coattail, the daddy's coattail? Is his presence really, really in you? You just like to go to church because it's fun sometimes. You hang out with, it just seems fun. But do you really know Jesus? I heard somebody say this. They were reading a book about a person that flatlined. And it's like they found themselves in this place. It's like God was showing them what hell was like. And they said they looked out and the people that were there, and there were pastors there, there were preachers there, there were high society people there in this place of torment. You would think that a pastor, just looking on the outside, they got to be saved, but that may not necessarily be the truth. Just because you're in the house does not mean that you're saved. I know we're not going to get a whole lot of amens this morning, but I have to preach the truth to you. This is a serious thing. That you have to examine yourself to see if your faith is truly genuine. Are you saved? Is Christ really living in me? I didn't say I arrived. I didn't say I'm perfect. I'm working towards it. Some people that sin is perfection. I love what John says. John gives us a sweet word and a good word. He says, listen, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all, which presupposes that you're saying it. And John, in 1 John, he's talking to believers. And believer, believe it or not, yes, sometimes we don't get it right. Sometimes we do sin that we're not perfect. But thanks be to God that our imperfections are still covered by Jesus Christ. We confess them and he will forgive us and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Real quick, so in this self-checkup, there's also the process of a self-checkup. What instruments, what tools do we use to do this checkup? And primarily, it's the Word of God. That we look into God's holy Word and we find out what's going on with us. But at least three things I want to mention to y'all before we get out of here. In this process of a self-checkup, as we look at God's Word as the instrument to measure our spiritual health, y'all, we have to check our heart. And to check your heart, y'all, is to check your will. Are you truly submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you truly submitted to his lordship? Where is your heart? You can preach and your heart not be where God wants it to be. You can sing on a praise team and your heart is not where it needs to be. You can usher and your heart is not where it needs to be. You can serve and your heart is not where it needs to be. Where is your heart? Jesus said, wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. Wherever your treasure, where your heart is going to be also. Where's your heart? Do you have a heart that's truly bent towards the will of God? You're sensitive to the will of God in every area of your life. God, I surrender all. God, whatever is in me that's not like you, take it out. But he said, you take it out. I've given you the power to do it by my Spirit. I'll help you. How is your heart? For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God. Romans 10:10. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Jeremiah 17:9. God knows. And I dare to say you ought to know too. So check your heart. Check your mouth too. That's a big one, y'all. That's a good one. Check what you say. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. Matthew 15:11. James 3:5 says, in the same way, the tongue, y'all, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand. Don't we know that today? The tongue is a little bit of thing that gets in a whole lot of trouble. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. What would it look like with a church full of folk that can control their tongue? Lord, we're not running each other down, backstabbing each other, talking about one another. Oh, girl, you sang that song good. Girl. You see that dress she had on. Then we have to stop putting our mouths on each other. At least in a negative way. If you love me, can you speak well of me? Mama and him say, if you can't say nothing good, come on, talk to me, y'all. Just don't say nothing. Don't say anything at all. Check your mouth. In this process of a self, check your mouth, check your heart, and then check your hands. There's a whole lot of stuff we can check, y'all. Check what you do. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Psalm 24, verses 3 through 4. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father, Colossians 3:17. Check your hands, y'all. What are your hands handling? While you're at it, check your feet. Where are your feet going? Come on. What are you doing? James kind of talks about this. James chapter 1. He talks about the difference between a person that hears the word and actually does the word. And he compares a person to a person that looks at him or herself in a mirror. And they walk away from the mirror and they forget what they look like. Yeah. But blessed is the person that comes to the Word of God like it's a mirror. And we constantly stay in the mirror to examine ourselves, to see what we look like, to make sure what we say and what we do, they line up with the Word of God and the will of God for our lives. So there's a process for self-checkup. But the good news in all of this, because when we do this examination, we all gonna come up short. There's something that you need to be working on in your life, something I need to be working on, is just the way it is. That we're not perfect, we're works in progress. But work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't try to work out mine, work out yours. That there's this final thing that should be endearing to our hearts, that we can depend on the great physician in your self-checkup. That we depend upon God. That he is our helper. That he is our strength. That we can utilize the word of God. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Y'all, the word will cut you. It cuts going and it cuts coming. But it's good that you are cut. It's necessary that we are cut. It's necessary that I'm cut. Piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart, Hebrews 4:12. So we have the great physician to help us as we do this personal, spiritual self-examination, and God will show us where we are and who we are and what's good and what's not, what's approved and what's not approved. To close, I tell you the story of a young boy by the name of David. At 2 years old, David had leukemia. So he was taken by his mother to a doctor who specialized in treating children with cancer and various blood diseases. So after the examination, the doctor said he had about a 50-50 chance. When he was three, David had to have a spinal tap, a very painful, painful procedure at such a young age. It was explained to him that it was necessary, that the doctor had to do it, that he was sick, but the doctor loved him and wanted him to get well. Mama told him, listen, if it hurts, remember, it's because the doctor, he loves you. The mother said, he's got to do the procedure. It's going to hurt, but remember that the doctor, that he loves you. Y'all, the procedure was horrendous. It took three nurses to hold little David down, this tiny boy who was soaked with sweat and tears. But he looked up into the doctor's face as he gasped. He said, thank you, doctor, for hurting me. When it comes to the word of God, God is a great physician. And sometimes the great physician, I need to operate on you. I'm trying to make you better. I got to make you whole. I want to make you well. But listen, sometimes I've got to cause pain in your life to bring forth my purpose and my will for your life. Sometimes I've got to hurt you to heal you. I've got to break you to bless you. I've got to bring some discomfort in your life to bring delight in your life. But the end analysis is, after God wants to do all of that, the great physician, there's this personal aspect that says you've got to still do it yourself. Examine yourself to see where you are in your faith. It's time, y'all, for a spiritual checkup. The church said, amen. Come on, give God praise in the house today. That we have to do our part, y'all, in maintaining our spiritual health. That we have to examine ourselves. It's time for a spiritual checkup. And so today, as you examine your heart, you don't have to fear, but you can operate in faith, knowing that God will help you and work in and through you. God approves of what is right. What is wrong, we have to get rid of it. Three prescriptions I want to leave with you real quick, and y'all, we're going to baptize and get out of here. Three spiritual prescriptions for use. So if Christ is in you, rejoice and renew your commitment. Be glad about it. Rejoice, but renew your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Renew your commitment to God. If you're unsure, seek him today with sincerity. Maybe there's someone here today, someone listening. I don't really know where I am in my relationship with you. I hear all of this talk, but I really don't know. You can know. You need to know where you are in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're unsure, seek him today. Seek his word. Seek one of these ministers. Seek one of these spiritual leaders in the house today to know where you are in your walk with the Lord. Get some wise counsel, some spiritual counsel to know where you are. Then if you drifted, return to him. His grace is waiting. If you feel like, listen, I know Jesus Christ and the pardon of my sins, but I feel like I've drifted. I haven't really been on the right path. I've been doing me. But doing you is not God's way. We do things his way. So if you feel like you're drifting, listen, trust God's grace. Know that God's grace and his love is waiting for you. like the prodigal son, he's waiting for you to come back to him. Bow your heads quickly as we pray. Father, we thank you for this word today. Not necessarily just as a warning of our failures, but as an invitation to a true and vibrant saving grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we examine ourselves to see where we are in our walk with you, to see if our faith is genuine, if it is real. And we constantly check ourselves to see what things you approve of and those things you don't approve of, Father. And we're willing to get rid of those things that you do not approve of only by your power, only by your spirit, only by your strength, only by your help, because we can do nothing without you. So God, help us in this process as we examine ourselves to see if we're truly in the faith. And the church said, perhaps there is someone here today, someone listening in, you're not in a saving relationship with the Lord, with the Lord Jesus Christ. It all really boils down to this, all of this preaching, and we do praise and worship, but it boils down to a relationship with Jesus. The Bible says if we confess the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we are saved. That's kind of a mouthful. But the question you have to ask yourself and I have to ask myself is it true? That have you admitted that you are a sinner in need of God's saving grace? And you know there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to get that. That you confess Jesus. You believe that the Jesus in this Bible is the true Jesus. He's the one and only Savior. That you confess him with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That settles it. You're saved. Does it mean you're perfect? By no means. You're going to walk it out for the rest of your life. You're going to trip and fall every once in a while, but you'll get back up again by God's strength and power, only by his strength and power. But do you believe that today? So here is our invitation. Our ushers are standing in the aisle. Their hands are extended. If you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, you need that today. And if you feel like this pull in your heart, that something's going on the inside, you feel like you need this relationship, listen, their hands are extended. Follow them across the hallway to room number one. Room number one. We have new member ministry advisors that will meet with you. If you need the gospel explained to you in more detail, they will do that so that you'll give your heart. We use these streets to give your heart to Jesus, to be in a saving relationship with him. If you are already a born-again believer, but you're not connected to a local church somewhere, we invite you today. Won't you come? Their hands are extended. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not promised. Won't you come right now? Get up from where you are. Follow them out to room number one. We'll gather some information, and we'll welcome you with open arms. If you're tuned in today and you're asking, how can I do that? Listen, there is a link online right now. Click on that link. There is a form you can fill out. I promise you on this week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you, answer any questions you might have, and we'll welcome you with open arms. We don't rush this moment. Would there be one? I give myself away. I give myself away. Oh God, oh God. I give myself away so you can hear. Is that really your heart's cry? I give myself away, oh God, oh God. I give myself away. God, I surrender all to you. I give you my life. I give you my will. I give you my heart. I surrender all to you, oh God. My life is not my own. That's it. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Is that your heart's cry? Can you say that? My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself I give myself to you. I give myself away. Oh God, one more time. I give myself away so you can use me. And the church said, amen. Amen. Though none, amen. That's it. I want you to know, if you did not get up and follow someone out for whatever reason, you can still do that at the end of the worship experience. There is a new member ministry advisor on the other side of the hallway in room number one. You can meet with them. They will gather information. We'll welcome you with open arms. Again, to do those of you online, please fill out that form. Fill out that form. We will have a new member ministry advisor to get with you, gather information. We'll welcome you with open arms.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.